begins again. It's been 3 weeks. You imagine? I had to look back and try and figure out where we were. I didn't have my secretaries to tell me here. Philippians. We're in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Actually, I put this sermon together 3 weeks ago, so it's been hard to sit on it for that long, but I got to, even when we were up there in Minnesota, I had some time, plenty of time each morning, so I'd go through it. It was kind of fun. Philippians chapter 2, because he kind of culminates part of it, but then he goes on and explains it later. Philippians chapter 2, we're in verses 17 and 18 today, what I didn't get finished with before we left. 17 and 18. And by the way, I truly appreciate the time you allow me to get off and away. I do want to mention for you to be praying for Libby, because she's not here this morning. She went up to John's. She spent the night with John up there, John and Courtney, going to their church. But she's heading to school on Thursday. And so just be praying for her. This is going to be a new experience to be gone. I mean, she was in Burlington before going to school, but it was right next door to my mom and dad. So it worked out really well. But down there, she'll be more by herself. She'll have Matt down there, but he's got his own life, and she'll be in school. So it'll be just a little bit different for her, but I think she'll really enjoy it. But be praying for her. We're in verses 17 and 18 of chapter 2, Philippians. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. So to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the fact that we can rejoice even in trials. The fact that we look at a situation and the world looks at a situation and says hopeless, and says defeat, and says despair. That we can look at it and say, you know what? My God is in control. And we can rejoice. We can find joy in every situation because we know that you are in charge. And we can depend upon you. Father, we can set our wants, our desires aside and depend upon you and your desires for us. We love you. Father, as we live, teach us dependence. Father, I don't pray specifically for you to teach us dependence because that comes through trials. And that's hard. I have a hard time praying for trials to come. But Lord God, I love the growth that comes from it. But Father, I pray that as these trials come, as you allow them, Lord God, I pray that you would lift us up and build us up in the faith that we could be able to get to the place where we can rejoice. We love you. Through Christ I pray. Amen. Philippians, a book that's been written, excuse me, by Paul, as he was in prison in Rome. He was chained to a guard 24/7. He was in his own rented home. He was in his own place, but he had to have a guard all the time chained to him. So he wasn't in an ideal situation at all. But he wrote, he had the opportunity to write, and he was writing to these Philippian people. It was a church that he started with Lydia. And some of the ladies that were down by the river praying. And he started the church, and it was a poor church. It wasn't a wealthy church at all, but yet it was a very giving church. And they gave so much even to his ministry. But it was an important city. It was a Roman colony, and they had all the privileges of Rome. But what he's talking about is his thankfulness and joy for them, his confidence being in God, not in them, but in God, working through them. So he is very confident in what God will do in them, his love for them, and vice versa, their love for him, his prayer for them that they would grow in love, his joy in trials, and his admonitions to them to think more of others than themselves, to have the mindset of Christ, to set their mind on what Christ set his mind on, the example of Jesus Christ. But also he talked about the deity of Christ and then the incarnation or the humanity of Christ, And then the humility of Christ, that was his mindset, to humble himself. The exaltation of Christ, what God did because of that. But then he talked about our work in sanctification, our work, and then God's work in sanctification, or growing up in Christ, or growth in Christ. That's the word sanctification. But then implementing this sanctification, that's what we looked at last time. Implementing this mindset or this sanctification, this growth mindset. Without grumbling, he said, without grumbling or disputing, which is talking about our emotional state or our intellectual state, to implement this, show yourself, you were showing ourselves our standing in Christ, but also showing the world, the unsaved, our standing, and showing those who have led us our standing in Christ. And he finishes off here this little section with the mindset of suffering. The mindset of suffering is what we're going to look at today. It's Paul's encouragement to them. Look what he said. I want to read verses 14 on, just to get you a little background. Okay, verses 12 on, give you a little background. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. And then he says, but even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice. But even if I am being poured out, that word but is the word Allah, and it means completely different. Now, on the other hand, he says, look, you're growing. Do this without grumbling or disputing. You show the world that you're growing. Show your world your growth, your faith, and show me your growth and your faith, and I'm going to rejoice in that. But he says, but on the other hand, if I'm being poured out as a drink offering, but on the other hand, in spite of the admission or the admonition of sanctification, in spite of the admonition to grow, he says, but on the other hand, he says, even if. Now that word even if, it's two words in the Greek, and it means also and since. It's a first class condition, which means it's already happening and it's possibly going to continue to happen. He says, but even now, since I'm being poured out as a drink offering. Okay, that's what he's saying. Since I am being poured out as a drink offering. Now, being poured out was a word they used that was used in two ways. And Paul knew the ways. He knew his Philippian readers. He knew them intimately. He understood their culture. He understood what they had gone through. And in Philippi, there was many pagan rituals, and these people would have grown up knowing them, and Paul knew them. And one of them was a drink offering. But we also have that in the Old Testament, a drink offering. Now, in the Old Testament, the drink offering was poured out before the altar. It was, but it wasn't the main offering, right? So it could have been that he was referring to that. But also in the pagan ritual, the drink offering was poured either before the altar, but most of the time it was poured on the main offering that was on the altar. So they would take the drink offering, they would pour it on the main offering, and then they would burn it. So in Paul's mind and in their mind, I believe they understood that this drink offering was not the main offering, but it was something that was being poured out. It was something that was being sacrificed, right? So what Paul here is saying is, look, my life, since it's already being sacrificed as a lesser offering, I want you to catch that, because that, I think, is the main point here. That this drink offering was not the main offering. It was the lesser offering. And I'll explain that in a minute. But that, especially in that pagan offering, it was poured out right on the main sacrifices. But in either case, it wasn't the main offering, but it was tied to it. It was connected to it, was related to it. And Paul's heart here is for their growth and their sanctification. You know, what we've gone through, what we've looked at. He's admonishing them. He's thanking God for them and telling them, you know, his prayer for them. But he's also admonishing them to continue to grow, to keep growing, to have that mindset that Christ had, to take that example of Christ and to live that out. So his heart here is for their growth, because he had just admonished them to have that mindset. But now he's encouraging them by showing them that mindset. Okay? I want you to see that. He's taking his life and he's making that their example of that mindset. So Paul here, he's a good leader. He's a good leader because he doesn't stand out and say, well, you know what? You guys are just the product of my ministry. You guys are just the product of how I serve God, of how God has used me. You see? What type of mindset is that? That's a proud mindset, right? Is that the mindset that Christ had? No. That's not the mindset that Paul was admonishing them to have. It was a mindset of humility. It says that he humbled himself and became obedient even death on a cross. That's the mindset of Christ. Even though Christ could have called 10,000 angels, Christ could have rightly taken the throne right then without having to go through any of that. Rightly, he could have, but he didn't. He humbled himself. And so he tells these folks, and he's telling us, to humble ourselves, to take that mindset. But then Paul himself shows them that mindset in this, what he says. He says, since I'm being poured out as a drink offering, not as the main offering, but as a drink offering, but I'm being poured out that way. Paul believed that it was possible he could be dying. He could be dying here. I mean, he could get to death. He indicates through the book that he doesn't think that will be so, okay? Because back in chapter 1, verses 25, he says, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for the progress and the joy of the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. So he really believes he'll come to him again. But what does he say in verse 21? I'm going to repeat this one a lot. For me to live is Christ, but to what? Die is gain. Is gain. He's not opposed to going home. But also in chapter 2 here, what we're coming up on is in verse 24. He says, and I trust in the Lord that I myself will be coming shortly. Okay, so his mindset, his thought process is, you know, I don't believe that my life is going to end here. But when he gets, there's only two times this word is used in the New Testament. And the other time is found in Timothy. And when he gets to Timothy, chapter 4, I believe, yeah, he says this, For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, same word. I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to those who have loved his appearing. That day he knew that he was going to die. He was sure of it. And in fact he did. That was 2 Timothy, that was the last book he wrote. He was in prison. He was awaiting his death. He had his head taken off. But that he knew that was happening. But he uses the same word. And it's the only two times that word is used in Scripture. It's that in the New Testament, anyway. But it's that pouring out of my life, he says. But here, he doesn't really believe or he doesn't think that it will happen. But he says it's a possibility that he will die. But in pouring out his life, he says, in pouring out as a drink offering, what he's talking about is how his life is moving here. What's happening in his life, his ministry, what's going on, what God has allowed him. Because he's in prison. He's having all sorts of problems. But Paul has this in mind through his writings, all of it. Paul's life, what he's saying here is, look, my life is the lesser sacrifice here. The lesser sacrifice. So what's the greater? What's the greater sacrifice? Well, look what it says. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. The sacrifice and service of your faith. The word sacrifice is thusia, and it means it's an actual sacrifice. It's not just like, oh, a little inconvenience. Oh, I'm sacrificing my hour. The next hour, I'm sacrificing doing what I want to do something I don't. No, it's not that. It was an actual sacrifice. It was a giving up of something. So he says that sacrifice, that sacrifice of your life, of your being, and service. The word service is litur. I want to get this right. Liturgia. And it's always used, well, not always, but mostly used in religious services. It's the word we get our word liturgy from. You ever heard liturgy? Liturgical service. It's to have certain things that happen. It's part of our acts of service. Paul uses it in 2 Corinthians when he says that giving to the saints, giving to others, that's liturgy, or that's part of your act of service. So what he's saying here is the lesser, my life is the lesser sacrifice, but yours is the sacrifice and the living it out of your faith. Of your sanctification, or keep it in the context of what he's talking about, because he's just admonished them to live out who they are in Christ. Their sanctification. So he's saying, look, my life is the lesser sacrifice to yours, to that living out who you are in Christ, to your sacrifice and who you are and living that out of your faith. So how is that faith shown? Well, James says what James says about it, and he would have already written his book before this time. But he says faith without works is what? It's a dead faith. It's not a living faith. So it's shown by our works. He says, show me your faith without works. I'll show you my faith by my works. So it's shown through our life. It's what we've been referring to as our sanctification. By our sanctification, our testimony, our Christian life. So the main sacrifice that he's talking about was their sanctification. It was their living before others, their life before others. You keep it in the context, it's their mindset. They're setting their mind on humility rather than on pride. The mindset of Christ, especially in other believers, especially in their church. For their own benefit, for the others' benefit who are outside, the unbelievers, but also for their leader's benefit, for Paul. We went through that a couple weeks ago. But Paul was holding his life as the lesser sacrifice, uplifting their service, their life, uplifting their humbling themselves, uplifting their sacrifice that they were going through. And this was Paul's heart of humility. Do you see, he's not just telling them what to do or how to think or how to, but he's showing them. He's showing them in the words that he used. But even if I am this main sacrifice and service, even if I'm being held up here, I want you to, you know, pour your little cup on there. I want you to live that out with your little cup of sacrifice. And that's not. So Paul here was showing the life of Christ. He was showing the heart of Christ, actually. He was showing them what he is admonishing them to do in his life, in their life. This was Paul's heart of humility. Well, look at Paul's rejoicing because of them. Look what he says. Even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. I rejoice. And yeah, it's not like, well, I'll rejoice. I'll think it's okay. This is almost like a shout. It's almost like one of these things where he says, I'm going to rejoice. This is so cool. Now, in those circumstances, you wouldn't think it would be that cool, right? Because these circumstances are hard to find joy in. He's chained up. He knows they're going through problems. Epaphroditus has come and told him all the issues that are going on with them. And in fact, he even said earlier, in chapter 1, the end of chapter 1, verse 29, says, "For you it has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me, now here to be in me." They're going through the same stuff. It's hard to find any joy in that circumstance. So, with Paul, his mindset took over the circumstance. Because he had that mindset, because Paul might die here, or at the very least he was going to have a lot of problems being in prison. But instead, he had an attitude of joy. And this is seen through his life. I want to read you this. This is out of John MacArthur's commentary. But he makes a point. He says, Paul not only is a model for selfless sacrificial service, but also for the joy that service produces. As he wrote to the Corinthians, "I am filled with comfort, I am overflowing with joy in all our affliction." What? I'm overcoming with joy in all our fun time. I don't have joy in my affliction. But yet that's what he's saying. That's that mindset of dependence on God. And to the Colossians, he says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions." He assured the Thessalonians that, "For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live, if you stand firm in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account?" What thanks can we render to God? I mean, we're celebrating here because of these afflictions. In the same way, James admonishes, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Likewise, Peter counseled his readers, "To the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also in the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation." So you see, it wasn't just Paul, but Paul was living this out. He says, look, there are problems. You're going to have issues. You're going to have problems. But you can still rejoice. You can still rejoice because you know the mindset that Christ had. And you need to have that mindset of humility, of the fact that we don't have the right to live an easy life. We don't have the right to tell God how to shape our life. But in fact, we have the right to tell God he can do whatever he wants with our life. We have the mindset to say whatever happens in our life, we can still praise God. Because he is still at work. In fact, in Sunday school, we went over that a little bit with Joseph's life, because he's in prison. And he didn't do anything wrong. Yet he's in prison, and yet at the end of that, he is still trusting in God. But they were sharers. They were sharers. They were co-sufferers with him. We already read that in verses 29 and 30 of the first chapter. In other words, they're in the same game. They're on the same team. They have some of the same problems, but they can still find joy in them. So what I want you to see is that rejoicing is not a feeling, but it's a mindset. Go back to verse 18 of chapter 1. He says, what then? Because Paul had just said, well, some people are preaching Christ to try and make me jealous, to try and give me problems here. Some of them good intent, some of them bad intent. But he says, verse 18, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. They knew he was going to suffer for it. They knew he was probably going to suffer more physically, but also mentally, because he wasn't able to get out and preach Christ. They knew it, and they were doing it for that reason. And yet he says, look, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice because Christ is being proclaimed. He could see the value in it because he had taken himself off of that throne, that pride off of that throne, and put himself humbly before God. Taking on that mindset of humility. And that's why he could do that. So, in the same, the fact that we can still find joy in all of this, why? Well, because of what he said in verse 21, for me to live is Christ. To die, that's gain. To have that mindset, to have that in the back of your brain helps tremendously. And I think that's what he is showing here. He's not just telling them, he's showing them. But he says, you also, and I want you to catch the heart here. He says, you also in verse 18. He says, you too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. Rejoice in the same way. The word rejoice in the same way, the first word, in verse 17, it says, I rejoice. That's, what word is that? It's Cairo. And he says, now you rejoice. In the same way, I urge you rejoice. And it's actually a command. It's an imperative. It's a present tense, which means here, right now, and it's an active voice, do it. But it's also an imperative. It says, you rejoice. Because I don't think their attitude was always rejoicing. I think he's admonishing them in this. I think he's telling them this because Epaphroditus, they come and said, you know, they're a little downcast. They're having some problems with this. They're having a hard time finding any joy in this. Paul's saying, look, I'm just a lesser sacrifice. I don't have that main sacrifice that you are, but I'm rejoicing. And I want you to rejoice. So do it. Rejoice. How do you just say, well, rejoice in this situation? How do you do that? You understand what he's already said. To have the mindset of Christ. To know that Christ is in charge and that others are more important than my own self. But also to depend upon God in all things, in everything. Then you can have the mindset of rejoice. To rejoice. To know that God is in control. Again, he says, catch this. And not only that, but share your joy. Look at it. In the same way, share your joy with me. That's soon kairo. Soon means together with. So together with joy. So share it with me. Share it together with me. Have joy with or experience this joy along with me. Again, catch this selfless mindset. The example of Jesus. He was a sinless Son of God. Now think about that. Because Paul had already said, have this mind in you which was in Christ Jesus. And they're going, he was the sinless Son of God. Yes, he was 100% human. We understand. But he was also the sinless Son of God. How am I going to have that mindset? That's why Paul said, look, I'm being poured out right now as a drink offering upon your main offering that you're giving to God. Paul was exemplifying that mindset. And Paul, what did Paul call himself? The chief of all sinners. I'm chief of all sinners. Look, I used to persecute Christians. So Paul was saying, look, have the mindset of Christ, but here's how it looks. You can look at my example. And it doesn't, so how could Paul say that? How could Paul use himself as an example? Well, you look in chapter 4, verse 9. He says, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. And you get into other books, you get into Corinthians, and he says, be imitators of me. And so how could Paul tell him this? Well, you could tell him this because it wasn't Paul living. Remember what he said in verse 21, chapter 1? For to me to live, Christ. It's Christ living through him. And so Paul could use his own life as an example. Because, yes, Christ is our example, and we look at that and say, well, he was God, so we got an excuse. So I can goof because he was God. He couldn't goof, but I can. But you look at Paul, and Paul's saying, no, follow my example. He says, rejoice. I'm rejoicing. I'm sharing it with you. You rejoice. Share it with me. Do the same thing here. Follow this example. Paul was devoted to Christ. He was dependent upon him. He knew how to live. He says, I know how to live with abundance. I know how to live in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. His contentment was in Christ. So when problems came, when persecutions came, he rejoiced that God counted him worthy to suffer for his sake. This was the outcome of having that mindset of Christ in him. And it can be the outcome of that mindset of Christ in us to depend upon our Father. Even when you don't understand your circumstances. Even when there's political problems in our world. Even when there are wars, rumors of wars in our world. Even when things aren't fair. Even when things aren't just. Even when Christianity is being attacked. Even when we have health issues going on. Even when the circumstances aren't great and our relationships going on. We can depend upon our Father. Learn to rejoice and to share your joy. That's what he's saying. Learn to rejoice in the midst of this and share that joy. So what is an example? What is a joy of a parent? It's when our children accomplish something, do something we've trained them for, that we desire in their life. When they accomplish that, we find joy. We find it's a great sense of joy that we have. Well, what is God doing in us? What is he allowing in us? Paul's joy is in these people standing with a mindset of Christ in the face of opposition and adversity. There's nothing greater for leaders than to see our people grow in their sanctification. Folks, I love to hear how God has used you and how he's brought you through a tough situation, how he's worked in your life in spite of the tough situation, in spite of the sin. He has built you into something or is building you. I love hearing that. And it's a cause for me to rejoice, knowing that God is in charge and that he's working. And that's what Paul is giving them, what Paul is wanting them to do. This is how God has used circumstances to grow you in dependence upon him. Folks, I hate the circumstances. I'll tell you this. I hate the circumstances. And I don't pray specifically that we grow. I really don't. I pray specifically that we grow as God would have us to grow. I don't pray for trials to come. I don't pray that you fall down and break your leg. I hope you know that. I don't pray that you have health issues or that, but I pray that in the midst of whatever issues God allows in your life that you grow. That you grow in your dependence. Because I don't like the circumstances, but I like what God does in those circumstances. I hate the circumstances. Oftentimes, I don't like them at all. But I can still find joy in them. I can still rejoice in the fact that God is building us. He's building you. He's building me. He's doing that through those circumstances. But it has to start with salvation. It has to start with knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've never trusted Jesus to be your Lord, your Savior, consider him today. Consider that he wants you to be his child. He longs for that. He sent his son specifically so that you could have a relationship with him. If you have trusted in him, then keep your mindset on dependence, on humility, and an other's mindset. having that mindset of Christ, the same mindset that Paul exemplified when he said, my life is just a drink offering poured out on your main sacrifice. It's the lesser. You guys are the greater sacrifice. Keep that mindset. Follow the example of Christ and be an example for others to follow. Be the example so you can, just like Paul, say, well, do what you've seen in my life. And we look at that and say, well, that's pride. That's pride. No, it's not. When God is at work in you, when it's God, when it's for me to live, is Christ. Do what you see that Christ is doing in me. Do what that. Follow that example. And let him use you in the same way, that dependence. Be an example for others. Because, folks, whether you know it or not, there are other people watching you. There are others who watch you and say, oh, they go to that church. Oh, they're Christians. Oh, well, why? There are others watching you. Be the example, rejoicing in Christ in the midst of whatever circumstances he allows in our life. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much that you allow us to grow through the problems that this world has. Father, you allow those problems. I understand that. But you don't allow the problems to break us down. You allow the problems to build us up, because when we become more and more dependent upon you. So, Lord, I don't pray for problems to come. I don't like the problems to come. But I do pray that you would build us through them. I do pray that we would submit ourselves, humble ourselves before you, and rejoice. When we see you work in the midst of our issues. Because Paul was still in prison. Paul was still chained to that guard. But he said, I rejoice because I'm watching you, Philippians. I'm watching you grow. I'm watching your sacrifice and the fact that you're in a hard place, but you can still rejoice. I'm watching the fact that you're growing in your dependence. Because James didn't say, it's going to be joyful when you fall into various trials. He said, consider it joy. Have the mindset that it's joyful when you fall into various trials, because those trials are going to make you endure, produce endurance in your faith. And Peter says, it's like a ladder. To add to that faith, endurance, and to endurance this and that, and that, to grow in it. That's our sanctification. Lord, thank you for that work of sanctification, that work of growth in our life. Thank you that you're doing it. Thank you that we can depend upon you. We love you. We praise you. Your love is amazing. Thank you for the examples that we see around us. The examples of living for you and of rejoicing in you in spite of the issues. To always finding joy and always finding more dependence upon you. Help us to live that out. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you take your hymn book?